Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Tuesday evening PGM. This is Deborah with you this evening, and I'm very grateful that you are joining us here this evening. It's a privilege to be here with you, a privilege to pray for you and with you and to lift up your name before the throne of grace and just to allow the Lord to minister and to be who he is best, which is speaking and reaching his people and drawing them near and, you know, bringing them encouragement, strengthening them by his grace for their life. Again, I consider it a privilege and an honor to be here to pray with you and for you and to intercede on your behalf, my behalf, right? Because prayer begets prayer. Well, thank you. So this evening, today is February 22nd, 2022, and it's a pleasure to be here. I know PGN has been talking about the number 22 for some time this year, and maybe just before it, we rolled over into 22. So, okay. So those of you that are new, we welcome you. Thank you for listening. The Lord has given me a word, and I believe that I have it in order, and I do want to release it, and I do want it to just be to come forth. I have a lot here in my notes, so I just want to pray that I really only say what the Lord wants me to say this evening. If it needs to be done in two parts, I'll come back to do that. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for how you speak, how you teach, Father, how, you know, we respond to your voice, we listen, and we follow, we yield to it, Lord, and we are obedient, Father. So I thank you, Lord, that you would guide me, Lord, as I bring this forth, Father God. I thank you, Lord, just for your word to go forth the way that you intended it to. Lord, let it accomplish and purpose all that you sent it forth to do, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your glory. We receive it, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, it's you who designs things. You design your people. You give your people a voice, Lord, to move forward, Father. Like even in Daniel and Esther, God, it says if they don't use their voice, God's going to find somebody else, and it'll go up all on somebody else. So we thank you for what you've given each and every one of us, God. As a body of believers, if you add all of those twos up in today's date, right, 02, 22, 2022, you come up with the number 12, and that is God's elect. That is his chosen government to rule the earth, right, and he's given us keys to do it. So by the grace and authority and power that God's given me, I will bring forth what he spoke. So praise you, Lord. May you be honored. May you be glorified, and may you receive, God, the reward. May you, the reward be yours, Lord. May the reward be yours in Jesus' name. So let's start here. So, and I might come back to this part. I'm feeling an unction to come back to this part, which is, so 22, Isaiah 22, the keys to the kingdom. There were some little nuggets in there that I had learned. I have them on my notes. I may come back to that particular part, okay, in the church and what we have. But here's what I want to kind of unfold right now is I'm going to talk a little bit about 22, a little bit. I'm just going to recap in a nutshell how we got to the house that we got to and some of the revelation that happened there. And because really Jeannie, Terrence and Tanisha, myself, and then PGN as a whole and Randy are looking for a new place, right? A new place to land and a new home. It kind of just happened and it unfolded on behalf of those in the Tuesday, Wednesday host, okay, that we all, so ironically, if you will, or not ironically, but coincidentally, although I've heard people say there's no word for coincidence in the New Testament, that it is by God's grace that he does these things, right? Yes, we do agree with that. So I just want to talk briefly about that, then I'm going to go to what the Lord showed me in Ezekiel, and then I'm going to talk about the word of the Lord for the elect. And then I'm going to talk about how we can prepare, how he is preparing us as his people for such a time as this. Okay, so I'll come back to the keys later, maybe next week, okay, because I don't think I'm going to have time to do that today. So when we purchased our house, John and I, which was, well, we moved in this year in June, but we put our signature on the paper on our house, which there's a longer story to this, and I may have shared in a different, which I think that I did, and a different broadcast. But on our house contract, we signed one thing that was very prevalent that kept coming up and repeating itself was the number 22 on our house. So when we signed our contract, it was on 10/22 and 21. Okay, that was the first time we signed on our contract to for our house. After I looked at all the contract and everything was completed on it, it said at the bottom of it, which I had no idea that it said this, but after they send it through all the people, when you're building, that's what they do. Anyway, there's other people that they send it to. They don't even tell you about, and then they send it back to you, and it has everyone's signature on it. And at the bottom, and it says, including signatures, including initials. This includes initials. It said there were 22 signatures. It literally said that on the contract. And then we sold our other house, the house that we were moving out of. It wasn't initially meant to close on this date, but it was what happened was John and I closed a day early, which I think was like the 18th or something like that, February 18th. And then the other couple that came in from out of town, something happened with their paperwork, and then their closing got delayed for a couple days. So that actually when they went in and closed, technically on the paperwork, was 2/22, so a year ago today. No, it was 20. But anyways, it was February 22nd is when they did that. When we moved here, the first time I went to the store in this region, within this shopping, within this particular area where we are, it was actually Walmart. I went with my mother-in-law, but the first time that I went, and again, in this particular area where I am, different parts of the city I had been, but closest to this area, my receipt came to exactly $22. And I remember the clerk saying, she said, "Oh, another even number. You're like the third person today who's gotten an even number of their bill." So I knew God was up to something for her to even comment, because I know what the Lord does that is that he confirms something, even unbeknownst to that person. What they're doing is they're confirming the word, right? Out of two or three, out of the witness of two or three, they're actually confirming the word of what he did. And so, so we have that. If you remember back in the, back in later part of 2021, we were talking about listening to the Lord. Okay. And even post two, where I think we're talking about listening. I'm pretty sure they were. Listening to the Lord. That's what the Lord was saying at the end of last year, was listening to the word. And then it kind of moved into obeying the Lord, listen and obey. Well, there's a word in Hebrew that is Shema, S-H-E-M-A, and it means to listen, but it also is to act on a request. It's kind of like what we do when we pray to God, right? We're asking for something, but we want him to act on the request of what we're praying for. So in Hebrew, oftentimes you'll find one word has dual meaning. So there's two sides to the same coin, so it has the same meaning. And in Hebrew, this particular word, Shema, means listen and doing, or listening and obeying, right? Listening, you listen, and then you do it. You follow what's said. Okay, listen and obey. And I believe this is part of how the Lord is preparing us as his bride for such a time as this, is to listen and then obey, like Daniel did, and just like Esther did in their time and in their nation. And anyways, I know that word was there before we moved in, because we had a marker and we wrote on kind of you that ever, you write on the beams and on the flooring and stuff, you can write scriptures. And we did. And one of the words that I wrote was Shema. Okay, so I know that we had talked about that then. Okay, so thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, so I just wanted to move into that. Just to recap that a little bit, there's a bigger probably testimony than that, if you will, but I just wanted to recap on that. Now, moving to Ezekiel was, I'm just going to read the notes. At the beginning of my Bible in Ezekiel, what happened was I was praying with the people at church on Friday morning, and we were in Lamentations, I think it was. Anyways, I had my Bible, and I had flipped it open and turned it right after I got done praying, and it went right to Ezekiel. And there was a note card in there, which I'm going to speak about this too, is there was a service I was at, and the pastor was talking about how to clothe ourselves. That's one way, just to give a heads up. That's one way how we're going to prepare ourselves as his body and his elect. And I thought, well, this is odd that this note card is in this book of Ezekiel. When I started reading in Ezekiel, I just started seeing so many things and patterns that were here. Okay, so let me just, and again, this is just, I'm reading from, this is the NIV Bible. That is like a student Bible. So I just have it to the book of Ezekiel at the introduction. This is all I'm reading is the introduction in this Bible and for what I was seeing because I highlighted about listening to the Lord. And then there were some other things in here that the Lord was speaking to me. Okay, so it says here that God showed himself to Ezekiel in unearthly radiance, okay? Before such splendor, Ezekiel, and I'm just going to read little captions, four or five little captions from here. Before such splendor, Ezekiel felt utterly weak and inadequate. Just as Isaiah had during a similar vision, okay, in Isaiah 6, he fell on his face and repeatedly, but God raised Ezekiel to his feet and gave him a message to deliver. Okay, this is important. Okay, and then it says, God, yet he was supernatural and inescapably near and real. He demanded complete obedience. Surprisingly, he appeared to Ezekiel in Babylon, the last place an Israelite expected to see him. God wouldn't have really showed up there. It was very unusual for him to be there, but that is where he showed himself, and he did. So it says, this God could not be locked by a national or geographical boxes. He ruled the earth. Ezekiel repeated this classic message over 60 times. And this is what the Lord was. Then they will know that I am the Lord. And I think this is important. This is how God wants to reveal himself even now. He wants people to know that he is the Lord. He is the Lord, him and him alone. God did not want to remain vague or far off to the people. He wanted his people to know him. So more, Ezekiel's God wanted to live with his people. And catch this. He wanted to make his home in the center of their city. And I think this is the, here's my interpretation of that, is that we, myself, and the other host, I feel like it's a prophetic sign that God has moved us, right? He has moved us, but God is wanting to be in the center of our city because he was saying, we will not move without God. These people, we're not going to build and they're not going to do this without God. And God is saying he wants to be in the center. He wants to make his home in the center of the city. Like, yes, that's prophetically Jerusalem and end time message. At the same time, he uses people prophetically to underscore what he's doing, again, for such a time as this and how he's moving in the earth. And I do believe that this is happening. One other aspect I forgot to mention about when we moved is I had worked for the 2020 census. And right after the census is when we found our house, just weeks after. And I knew that when we did, it was something very significant. The Lord was doing something significant. And then the number two kept giving. I didn't understand why until later. I mean, until it kind of unfolded, unraveled a little bit later, the true revelation kept, you know, coming forth from the surface. And but from the 2020 census, what happened was when you look in scripture at the census, they moved people, right? When they did the census, remember Mary and Joseph had to go back to their hometown. They had to go back to their home and be counted for whatever reason. God was doing this, but something significant. God did something very significant when he started moving the people. And I know I've talked about this. I talked about this and not knowing exactly everything that God's doing, still don't, but in part prophesying, he is moving and he's doing something. He is wanting to make a home in the center of the city. And it was significant for whatever reason that the people had to go back to where they were born at that time in the census in the Bible. You know, they needed to be counted there. And for whatever reason, I'm not sure what that piece is. But it certainly is a reflection of a God wanting to make his home in the center of the city. So he places us in cities, significant places, for him to make his home there and to build. And we don't build apart from him. And there's one thing I did where my husband and I, John, were talking the other day, and I said, you know, there's one thing I did pray to the Lord, and the Lord actually told me 3 years before we moved that we would be moving in 3 years. So literally, that's what he told me. And at the time that he told me that, I said, well, I don't want to be the first ones to move because the neighbors all around us at our other house, I mean, 15 years, 12, 15 years we've known them. A couple months later, within three, four months later, the neighbor across the street moved. So I knew the clock was ticking. Okay, I knew that the clock was ticking for us. And so, so that's that. But I do believe there is the significance of what God is wanting to build and where he wants to make his home in the center of the city. And he's moving his prophetic people as a sign and as a prophetic sign in what he's doing. And I believe and just declare, even with PGN, wherever they land, I have no idea where that is. I don't know the process. I don't know anything more than you know. And but let that be so, where it comes in the center of the city, where the Lord wants to make a home in the center of the city, I think in this nation and then also in Jerusalem, right? That is his heart, and we know the end times is for still those coming to see the true Messiah and come to their salvation, right? And this brings healing to the land and healing to the land. So we thank the Lord for that. So then he says, the people there had, during the time that Ezekiel lived, the people were not, they had been ignoring the messages from Micah, Amos, Isaiah, who warned them that if they didn't listen to God, then things wouldn't go well for them, right? Well, they were saying to the same people, those same minor prophets, or Isaiah, major prophet, saying to listen to God. So Ezekiel had gone into exile in one of the first groups, as had Daniel. Ezekiel became God's messenger as a captive in Babylon. His voice blended in stereo with Jeremiah's, still in Jerusalem. And then God was going to use different means to get their attention, right? Because that's what God does is he, not for you and I, but for the people that aren't listening and that yet need to know him. Okay, so, and God's aim has remained the same, to make himself known. Right, to make himself known. And if they were unlikely to listen, okay, because they preferred idols than living with God. And it says all God's messages are meant to shock people into restoring a living relationship with him. Okay, that's what he's doing when people when they're in exile in Babylon. Remember, you got to remember when Daniel and they were living there, they were still serving God, even though their surroundings and their culture got difficult and pressing on them and, you know, mocking and shaming, and they were trying to silence them and quiet them, and they did not. They continue to honor God, and they continue to press forward and to be a voice at all costs, right? That no matter what, we're going to serve the Lord, because he is the ruler, and he is the ruler and the creator. The notes in here, it says, remember that the book of Ezekiel compresses messages God gave over 22 years. It literally says, try to impact the message of the people who first heard it and saw it all along. So for 22 years, wow, can you imagine? Okay, so I'm going to end with this on the Ezekiel part. Ezekiel ends with hope. The final chapters show a new Jerusalem rising from the ruins of the old. The renewed city would never die, and it built on an unshifting reality. They will know I am the Lord. And I think each one of us who has moved, I mean, I just want to say this, and maybe many of you have moved, but I'm saying there, it's a prophetic sign that God had us move. I mean, I don't necessarily talk to the other hosts. I didn't know they had any idea of moving unless they called in, and I know Jeannie called one time for prayer, but we had already been positioned where we were, and I think so had, so some of the things might have overlapped, but one didn't know of the other, and I'm fairly certain of that. And besides, nobody would move like that anyway. So, but I do believe it is a prophetic sign, a prophetic sign that that we would know that he is the Lord, and we know that the Lord moved us. I was going to say this. This is what John and I were saying is, When we moved, I said, Lord, I want to come out better. I want to come out better on this end than when we left. And in every aspect, if we look at every facet of where we started, even when we moved into the other house, the Lord, which the Lord definitely directed and guided us there in raising our children. If we look at every facet from beginning to end, we came out better, which is amazing. It was more than we could have asked, thought, or imagined, or even, we couldn't even have put that together. It was definitely the Lord. And I think every one of the hosts could even say in their testimony, it was definitely the Lord did this, okay? They will know that he is the Lord. And the burning vision of God that Ezekiel had seen would become accessible to all. God would make himself at home forever. Ezekiel's last verse says it all. And the name, and this is Ezekiel 48, chapter 48. And the name of the city from that time on will be The Lord is There. The Lord is There. And there's a word for that. And I want to say something. And I'm going to say this humbly, because the Lord gave me a word for the 19, which is 3 years ago. And I've mentioned maybe this just a couple times while I was here, that sometimes I notice when the Lord gives me a word, like this type of word, sometimes it's like 3 years before it, like 3 years for some reason. I don't know why, but I've noticed that before. A little bit of a pattern in that. But this word was like to his elect. So going back to today's date, if you add up all the twos, right, 0222, 2022 is the number 12, which has to do with the elect and the government of God and his people. And I think he's calling us for such a time as this, that we listen and obey, and in our listening and obey, it does cast out all fear from us, right? And it says, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love because dread does not exist, but perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love and has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. And this is where we are growing and going, right? Because he is making a home in the center of the city. And I believe prophetically, even our homes being moved within the city is him to establish this and to show himself this way in a very significant and profound way, just like he did something very significant and profound during the census, right? He could have just sent an angel. He could have did it miraculously, but he didn't. He chose the people had to move on earth, and then heaven moved and opened up to come to earth, right? There's something significant when the exchange happens, and that's a whole part of listening and obeying and encouraging myself as well. So this is what the Lord spoke to me, and it was just happened to be that I crossed from one threshold to the other. Like I was going from one room to the next room. And as soon as I crossed the threshold, I heard the Lord say, it's an election year. Again, this is in August of 2019. Okay. And I said, yes, Lord, I know. And then I realized, oh, it's not an election year. I realized that it wasn't. Even though I answered that way, but then I was uncertain of what was being conveyed to me as well. And then after a brief pause, I heard the Lord say, it's a year that I'm calling my elect. And so that was immediately, I knew I needed to begin to get a piece of paper and write it down. And so I heard this. This is a time to stand on sure truth and without guile. Okay, so we find the word guile in the scriptures, and that talks about cunning intelligence, right? So people a little deceptive there. A time of moving into motion, faceting your face, which is really focusing, coming humbly unto me, he says, as you seek to stay with my pace. Gears are changing and slippery slopes will be dismantled. Claims will be of injustice. But hear the word of the Lord. I stake my claim. I have claims in my elect, in truth, faithfulness, and godliness. Without reserves, my elect will follow. And, you know, I didn't see it like this before, and I read this earlier, but without reserve is exactly how Daniel and Ezekiel, you know, were living in that culture and in that time, as well as Esther. I will cause my ways to open up to you. I will cause my truth to no longer be suppressed. I will cause justice to be known as justified in the land. I will cause fruitfulness as you elect my purposes according to the grace I've bestowed upon you. I will cause fire to refine the finest of faith, even amidst the faithful. You will find me there amongst the beloved, the elect and faithful. You will call to me, making your claims to the God who is there. I literally wrote that. So plots are for the enemies. Let them dig their own hole. Designs and plans are held in place for my elect. Confront obstacles. Confront obstinate. Count the cost and step in faith. And in this place right here where it says the Lord is there, it says Jehovah Shema, Shammah. And it only occurs once in scripture, which is in Ezekiel 48:35. The name of the Lord, which is the existing one or Lord. Okay, it means that he is to be or to exist, specifically known as the existing one. God reveals himself unceasingly that he is there. And I believe he's doing that within our cities, within our homes. And so I believe this is one thing and one area in which the Lord has chosen for a prophetic sign for God's prophetic people in the land. And I'm sure there's more in depth to this than I could probably unpack on my own intelligence and my own limitedness. But I know the Lord is doing this, and he is clothing us. He wants to clothe us. Let me read this scripture from 2 Corinthians 12, no, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, where Paul was talking. He says, just to amplify, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself more effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. Verse 10. So I am well pleased with weakness. Well, listen up. With insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing on God's strength. Amen. And this is where he is bringing us and where he is calling us to walk. Okay. Let me see where we are. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. There definitely was probably more, but I'm going to go ahead and stop there. So thank you, Lord, for the word of the Lord. I thank you, Father God, for how you move and act on behalf of the people, Lord. I thank you for building them up. And really, we're to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give 4 points on that. I won't expound on it, but let me just give 4 points because I opened up with that just so that we know God is covering us and preparing us. He's been preparing us all along because he's been saying, listen and obey. And now he's bringing us to this place, right? So he literally has been preparing us to walk on this path. And so when he prepares us and he says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's a presentation for how do we keep ourselves when we walk through a testing with the Lord. When we're great in the Lord and we inspire many people, the power affects everyone around us, right? Just like Daniel, Esther, as I was saying, because they have dignity. This is what he closes us with. He closes us with his righteousness, but also dignity, honor, humility, and majesty. Also, Christ will give us comfort. So don't, the note said, don't feast on rejection. We have garments of acceptance. The Lord loves us. We have warmth in the Lord, peace and healing from him. He covers us with that. He's given us an armor to protect us from the arrows that fly by day and the plague by night, Psalm 91. So we have the strength of a warrior. He clothes us with that. Okay, I'm just going to end. That's where I'm going to end, right there. So just to be encouraged, to be clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many of you. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And let me tell you, many of these things that I had been looking at and reviewing here, the Lord kept putting across my path, even over the weekend. Everything was almost doubled. I just want to say almost doubled. There were so many things were almost doubled. Even open doors. The word open doors is coming forth. And today I even had to take our dog to the vet because he has not been feeling well the entire weekend, which changed my schedule. Because it changed my schedule, the Lord had me seeing some things in different areas that were confirming and doubling what he already said and showing me some different things. But anyways, when I went to the vet today, literally, if anyone want to guess what the vet bill came to, but it came to 222. That's what the vet bill was. So he kept doubling. I wasn't exactly pleased about it, but the price anyways. But he kept doubling a lot of the messages. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. I thank you, Father God, just for how you speak and how you teach. I thank you, Lord, for even the preparation of that, Lord, the guidance of it, Lord, and that you continue to speak to your people, Lord, and how you move us, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We want you to make a home on earth, God, and within the city, Lord, and we know ultimately you choose Jerusalem. God, but we invite you to come into our cities, Lord, as Daniel did, as Esther did, Lord, Ezekiel, Lord. People would know that you and you alone are the Lord their God, and you are the Lord that is there. So I thank you, Father God, that nobody shares your name, God, that you have no rival, that you are the champion of heaven and you carry all majesty, God, unto your name, God, and all power and authority, Lord, and all knowing and ever present in our time of need, Lord. We thank you for clothing us with the garments, Lord, of righteousness, Lord, and honor and dignity, Father, and as warriors, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for making provision for us. In every way, God, and even for your comfort, God, your acceptance, your love and healing and peace that you offer us and give us robes, Lord, of righteousness and white robes, Lord, to those who overcome, Father. We thank you, Lord, for where it speaks of your garments in Scripture, Lord, and we thank you. We receive what you have for us, Lord, and come and make your home within our cities. God, we invite you to be the God who is there, Lord, and I'll let each and every one of them name their city, the God who is there amongst their city, the God who is dwelling. Come make your home. Come make your home, Lord. Let it be evident, God, Lord. Let the people see, Lord, hear and know and truly understand your truth as you make your claims for your elect, God, that we would choose you as well. And so we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just establishing that and preparing us and that you truly are the champion of heaven and the victor, God. When we see the battle, you see the victory. And I thank you, Lord, for fighting on our behalf, Lord, that you equip us and given us these things, Lord, to move ahead and to plow ahead and to be a voice for you. And let it be done. Let it be so, and let in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's open up our first phone line caller here. It's 502-548. Good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening. Who am I speaking to?
This is Greg.
Greg, okay. Well, good evening. Where are you calling from?
Kentucky.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.
God bless you.
Okay, thanks. Let me close your mic for just a second. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll open that back up again. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for Greg, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, for open doors and open ways, Lord, that you cause ways, Lord. You have ways of causeways, you know, ways that open up, Father God, to a higher ground and a higher place, Lord, to travel. Father God, I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, for causing ways to open up to him, Father, for him to travel on. I'm even seeing like a truck, and I don't, you know, a lot of times the vehicles have to do with our ministry or our life, and so for yours being a truck and not a car, and so, Lord, and it is a, so it's not a pickup truck. It might even be, I'm not familiar with all military, but this might be a type of one. So, Father, I just thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for opening a way for him, Lord, in Jesus' name, for that travel, Lord, and causing a way, causeway, and opening a way, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, Lord, you know, let me look up, hold on, I know, let me see something here, Oh, so to open the way, to make something easier or more likely to happen. Okay. So it's raising the road. Okay, so thank you, Lord. And even causeway is like if you do that. were twofold, like as one word or two words, that is moving above the ground, even ground, like wet ground. So let me just look up truck. Hold on here. You know, funny that I see that because let me look up truck first. But I did think when I was seeing it that you were actually transporting something in the truck. But let me just, and so I turned exactly to the word transport. So, but let me look up truck first to make sure before I read that. It just says personal or individual ministry or vocation, which I said, but applied, able to supply others with materials. Okay, so the word transport, but that's what I was thinking, is that you were carrying something. But here, transport, it says to be carried by the Holy Spirit of the Lord from one geographical place to another in a moment of time, or to be caught up, or to be caught up in the Spirit. Huh. Okay. So, Lord, I just thank you, Father. I just know I see what I've seen. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that if you want to add anything more to that, Father, I thank you, Lord, for the truck, Lord. I thank you for causing a way for him, Father, and Jesus' name, for opening things up for them to happen. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and Lord, so the part that I'm, so the truck is either has, is something in it, like you're transporting something, or I don't know if that's a play on words, literally with the Holy Spirit, or if there's materials, type of materials or provision supplies for others in there. Yeah, or it could just be, no. Okay, thank you, Lord. Because sometimes when I say it, if I just repeat it, I can sense in my spirit like which way it's going, or I can feel like to rain back in. That's why sometimes I repeat things. So, Father, thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So, it's more in your individual life and ministry and vocation and him making a way for you and opening things up for you to travel on. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and it's by way, definitely activity of the Holy Spirit on that as well. So, well, that's what I'm getting. Well, thank you for calling this evening. And I'm not sure if I've prayed with you before or if it's been quite a while. Or
you have not. This is my first time.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for joining us. And do you have any specific prayer requests?
I do not. I just... when I call in, I typically just kind of like to hear what God has to say.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, did you feel the Lord spoke to you? Or?
Oh, absolutely. No, there's recurring words that keep popping up. Travel's one of them.
Oh, very good. Oh, okay. Well,
so,
very
good. I mean, it's there's a lot of stuff consistent with things that I've been hearing, you know, over the past few weeks.
Very
I kind of like confirmation, so.
For sure. I understand. Totally. Well, thank you. Well, thank you
Absolutely.
For joining. Yeah, that's cool. The Holy Spirit.
Thank you very much.
His eye is on you. Okay, well, thank you for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thanks. Okay. 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Deborah. It's Jennifer from North Carolina.
Oh, hey, Jennifer. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Blessed.
Good. Very good. Let me get a drink of water. Okay. Thank you, Father, for Jennifer, Lord. I just lift her up to your altar, Father God. We thank you for your place of peace is what's coming out. Thank you for a place of peace, God, before your altar, Lord, in Jesus' name. And oh, that's a peace offering, a place of peace, a peace offering. And I see you on your knees, and it's more like a, oh gosh, how do you describe, like a, not a pod, I want to say a pod, but I know I think different than other people think, so I don't know if, when I say that if you're thinking the same thing. So you're on your knees, and you are you're, okay, so let me specifically describe it. Your legs, you're not just on your knees, you're like you're seated down, you know, on the back of your heels. Your bottom is on the back of your heels and you're hunched over, you know, so you're kind of like making yourself into a little pod, is what I'm saying. And it's a peace offering. And I'm seeing also like that this is a place of, it's almost like it's a covering as well. That the Lord has for you where you almost are like there's a groove in the ground where you just fit really nicely. And from a distance, you know, people couldn't see you. They couldn't spot you, you know, even your enemy, you know. And and in this posture, you know, it is a posture of peace. And I think the Lord that there is, it's like almost like not a seed, but a, like sowing, just like sowing a seed of this prayer posture before the Lord that's bringing you peace, you know, and it's keeping you covered from your enemies. So we thank you, Lord, for this place of peace at your altar, Father God, that's been found by her, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you would preserve it, that you would make it as precious, God, and make it as holy, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father God, that you would speak to air, God, that even in the storms and in the wind, that you are sheltered and that you are covered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, Lord, that she is unharmed in any way, Lord. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And just like when, and who was it that was in the cleft of the rock? Was it Moses or was it a different prophet? Somebody was in the cleft of the rock and the Lord spoke to them, but when the Lord passed by, they just seen the backside of the Lord and not, they didn't get to see it like the Lord's eyes. I can't remember who that was. But so it's kind of like almost like being in the cleft of the rock and the Lord saying, you know, because you have each other's back. You have each other's back, you and the Lord. And you're watchful over each other's back. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for that protection. And we certainly don't have to do anything for anyone who's listening is to earn anything from the Lord. But our notions and our expressions of love, sometimes he expresses it back to us in the same way that we offer it to him. You know, my husband and I recently did a fast together. He calls it, and it was much longer than I would have liked, but we did it. Praise God. And at the very end of it, I was wondering, like, not that it wasn't good enough, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and probably because I was hungry at the end of it and just not in my right, in my normal frame of thinking. And anyways, so it wasn't until literally almost a week later, because I was thinking, like, what became of that? Like, did anything become of that, you know? And it was literally on Valentine's Day, which was 1 week later, the Lord started to reveal. There were like two or three things that came forth, you know. And I know what the Lord was doing is he showed me that he was expressing his love to us on Valentine's Day, because he's seen what we did, that we did it in love. We did it under the covenant together in love and under our covenant to our God, that he was expressing himself back to us on Valentine's Day and showing us. So it's more of an expression thing, an exchange of an expression, and not that we have to earn it. Okay. So I say that that way is that he expresses it back to us because he's really saying, like, he sees all of us, right? He envelopes our complete body, soul, and spirit in our person because he created it and he cares so much about it, you know? And we're written on the palms of his hands and written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He does personally know us and see us. And every gesture that we make in his way, sometimes, you know, he makes his gestures to us in the same way, but it is a way of confirming, like, hey, I've seen what you did for me, and I'm offering it back to you in the same way. So it's like he's speaking your love language, you know? And so certainly not earned, but by an abundance of his grace, of his great grace that he offers it. So, Father, we thank you again just for this place of peace. And shielding her, Father God, and covering her back for her, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that she's even learned. And I even see, too, as I said that you've learned to shelter yourself in this way through the storm. You've learned to shelter yourself in this way through the storm until the storm passes. And it is a form of protection for you. It is. And it is... good. It is a good thing. So we thank you, Lord, and we bless that, Father, and we bless Jennifer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Really spoke to me. Protection is a reoccurring word that I keep hearing, and I'm actually on a fast now. So.
Oh, that's funny, because I normally don't talk about that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he definitely has his own love language to me. It's pretty amazing. He is. I just love him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah, normally I don't publicly talk about a fast, but when I usually am praying for someone like that, mm-hmm. like prophetically praying, and he brings that to remembrance, I just need to kind of bring that out. And it was fitting. So thank you so much for saying that and for joining us. It's good to hear you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Evening. Yeah. Is there any,
thank
do you have
you.
Any specific prayer requests before I let you go?
No, I'll let you go to the next caller. I'll get into prayer.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. God bless you and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Good week. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay, our next caller is 205-531, and I believe this is Julia May. Is that right?
Yes, I got kicked out. I had to jump back.
You got what?
Somebody tried to put my headphone on, and next I know it kicked me out like last week, and I said, oh, boy, here we go again. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it kicked you off last week?
My phone is acting up, it'll go to hold sometime, and it'll go to mute. So just give me a few seconds. I don't know what's wrong with it. I didn't send it back twice to Motorola, and it's doing the same thing. I don't know what it's like.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, so your phone. Okay.
It might do anything. Wait. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on. Yeah, we might do anything. Yep. We doing great. Y'all are doing just fine.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. And how is the work situation coming along? Any leads or interviews or?
Not yet. I bought me a laptop. And so I just got me a laptop today. So, you know, so I can do some work. I had to get them in that i5. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come here, jump on that right there. Yeah, I've been looking at some, you know, but I haven't seen anything yet. Right here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, would you like me to pray for you?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I just want a burst just caught my eye, and I want to look it up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, so here is the verse. I don't know if this was for you or not, but it just had caught my eye. I don't know what was over there that it was. Oh. Anyways, it was Revelation 22:2. That's because of the date. It just all of a sudden, it just was. I see my eye. But verse 1 says, "The angel showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb." In parentheses, it says Christ. And then verse 2: "In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves on the tree were for the healing of the nation." Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for your healing. We thank you for all that you yield. Lord, you do yield, Lord, sustain and have yielding power, Father God. We thank you for your fruitfulness. That is your heart. Lord, you sustain in fruitfulness. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, in Jesus' name, in the middle of its street. On either of its side of the river was a tree of life. We thank you for the tree of life, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that Julia May eats from the tree of life, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, and for her family, for her household, Lord, that she prays prayers from the tree of life, God. We thank you for the healing that you bring forth, that she yields, the healing that she yields and bears and brings forth for your name, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, will you be glorified. We thank you for the flow of the river, God, in the center of the city, in the center of the street, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. You know, I was listening to something not too long ago. It was on the Pool of Siloam. It was right outside of the city of Jerusalem. And what they did was during the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests were called, so every day they had a ceremony, the rituals and the ceremonies that they did. The priest was called to take a golden vessel and go and dip it in the Pool of Siloam, which was just outside of the thing of Jerusalem, like on the side there, and dip it in there for the ceremony. And then during this ritual ceremony, the priest would pour out the water from the Pool of Siloam on the west side of the altar, and on the east side of the altar, they would pour out the wine. And this is representation of for what Jesus is going to do in the New Testament, right? The water and the wine, the new wine and his body would be poured out, and the Holy Spirit would bring forth the wine. And even the East Gate, in Ezekiel, speaking of the East Gate, is where, you know, it talks about this coming through and the glory of God a lot in Ezekiel. And so through this ritual, though, on the eighth day, there was no ceremony, and the Lord stood up. And that's when he stood up and said in Matthew 7, let me get it so I can just read it, because I think there's something here that I think it's 7:37. Nope, it's not 37 because it doesn't go there. Well, this is where he stood up and said, it's not in Matthew 7, but I'm going to come back there for a second for you guys. But that's when he stood up and said, if anyone is thirsty, you know, let him drink from me, right? The rivers of living waters, let him come unto me and drink of me, the waters of living waters. And so it wasn't just a pool, it was living waters, and he was doing it at this Feast of Tabernacles. But I see that you do that like this river, the river of living waters that flow from you, that you offer that as healing. You offer it and declare it unto the people, like in your family, those that you minister to, those to yet be even in the workplace. I'm just going to declare that over you, that even in the workplace, they will see, you know, that you are a partaker of living waters and that you would offer that to other people. So let me just find that first about living waters. Oh, it's John 7. I said Matthew 7. That's why I was thrown off. Oh, and it was verse 37. I just had the wrong gospel. On the last day, which is the climax of the festival, that's when Jesus stood up and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty, may he come to me, and anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he's saying living waters, he's speaking of the Spirit, who will be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit has not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. But now, of course, he is. So, but let me go back to, I was at Matthew 7. Because there it says, the tree and its fruit. So, and I was just saying that to you, even so, okay, thank you, Lord, that she does eat from the tree. The tree of life and bears much fruit, God. We thank you for the living water, God, that she, God, even as a priest, Lord, you call us to dip in the waters, Father God, as the vessels and drink of your living water, God. And I thank you, Lord, that she's partaker in that. She would indeed offer it, God. Let it be known. Let it be heard. Let it be seen. Let it be offered. Let it be received. Lord, even in the workplace, Father God, we pray for an opening for work for her, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray, Father God, that you would open doors, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've given keys, Lord, that have access to open, God, that the keys of David are opening instruments, God. So we thank you, God. We open doors for her, Father, in Jesus' name. Open doors of favor. Open doors of workplace, God, and blessings upon her, Father, to be bestowed upon her, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the decision makers, Lord, of saying yes to Julia May and hiring her, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that she will go forth with joy and be led in peace, Lord, as Isaiah says, Father. And we bless her with that, God, and we thank you, Lord, for her offering, you know, as vessels, too. There was a, you know, they would go into each other's homes, or actually they would even travel with a little cup because it would be a refreshing to have water and, you know, because naturally they were in the desert. but they would gather refreshing, you know, and carry their vessels with them to offer refreshing. So I thank you, Lord, that as she goes about her day, Lord, and those that she runs into, she would offer, Lord, cups of living water, be a refreshing to others, Lord. And as your word says, those who refreshes others will themselves be refreshed, Father. So we thank you for this season for her, God, and this time for her, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, and we do ask in agreement with all the other listeners, Lord, that you would unlock doors, Lord, unlock doors, God, with the keys, Lord, to for employment for her, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
You're welcome. Awesome. So what do you got going on over there in Alabama?
Like I said, just trying to get everything set up. And I keep having this. I've been doing it for years, and I haven't gotten into it to learn Spanish for some reason. I don't know why. I keep thinking about learning Spanish and doing science. So I said, well, I think I need to do, because I don't know what it always fascinated me. I said, I'm going to learn Spanish, and since I work with children with special needs, you know, do sign language, because we have some children that have sign language. So I said, well, I started finding my Spanish tape, and I found my paper. Like to do the American Science, so I'm finna start doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
And
it's real easy.
Yeah.
Because we have,
yeah.
Before we went out of work, we had some children, you know, that spoke Spanish, and we had problem with communication. And even the teacher that spoke, you know, is different than what taught. And it's different from teaching it and speaking it. And some of them she didn't quite get. I said, well, she, you know, I don't know. You know, it's different when the speaking it from just, you know, just learning words, because, you know, she wasn't quite getting it. And then I looked at her and said, no, you're a Spanish teacher. You're supposed to be able to catch this. And so we had a lot of children sitting in the class. They didn't understand. And we were having trouble trying, you know, getting them to do stuff. So, you know, I had to just try to show them. And they said, oh, you know, so. That just popped in my head. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, that's neat. Well, I look forward to hearing how the Lord's going to use that, because I love when he does that. He puts that unction in you, and you start pursuing it.
Yeah, and I think it must be something, too, because it keeps coming up. And I ordered me a dummy for Spanish, an idiot one of them books. So I ordered my book and got my tape. So since I got my laptop now, I'm gonna start, you know, listening to it when I walk around the house, try to get the word I want to be able, you know, speak and understand fluently, that I can, you know, help some children, because it does, you know, have children coming and speaking Spanish, and then someone needs sign language.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's great. That is a very big blessing. That's very nice, really.
Yeah, I saw some of the job, they say, you know, they need somebody to baby speak Spanish. I said, well, they knocked me out, you know, something I did see, but no. But since I didn't have the Spanish part, you know, they knocked me, so I said, well, I need to do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. That's very good. Well, I really do look forward to hearing how the Lord uses that. And that is your Shema, if you will, your Hebrew word for listen and doing, listen and obey. So.
Okay.
That's very, very cool. Very, very cool.
Okay, thank
you. Yeah, yeah. I know when we were, John and I were first married, I had taken a class of sign language. And so I knew some of it for a while. And there was a little girl that we had in one of the classes after we moved to Oklahoma. We were there, but it was a little girl. Her name was it Natalie? Something with an N. I think Natalie. I think that was what it was. Yeah. Anyways, she ended up, just knew sign language. So it was actually ended up she was following my lead in a couple of places. So it was actually remembered enough to be able to help her so that she wasn't stressed in the room or felt chaotic, you know, like when it was time to play, I did the sign for play, you know. and just different things to help her direct. So it was amazing because I didn't think about what I knew at the time. I happened to remember it, and the Lord was giving me the words at the time. But a funny thing is when I was learning it, I had this dream that this angel came to me, and the angel was giving the angel was giving me a message, but it was in sign language. And I was saying to the angel, slow down. I don't know all the signs yet. But anyway, I thought it was funny in my dream because I was telling the angel, slow down. I don't know. I can't catch up with everything you're saying. But that's fun. So there probably are angels out there that know different languages too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pray. They need to help me too.
Yeah. You could use their assistance. Yeah, no, I understand. Okay, let me pray for you. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the ability to learn. God, we ask that Julia May, Lord, as she comes before you with open book and open heart, Lord, or even if it's on the computer, Lord, however her learning station is, Lord, that she would just thank you for the opportunity and the ability to learn, God, and that she would do well, Lord, that you would work in her, Lord, exceedingly and abundantly more than she could ask, think, or imagine, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and the discernment, Lord. Your word in Proverbs 18:15 says, the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. And Father, we thank you, Lord, you would bless her for being diligent to be yielding to your voice and what she's hearing inside of her, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, that you would magnify it, amplify it, and bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Week.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Good to talk to you. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Excuse me. Okay, we have caller number 770714. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. This is Donna from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Donna. How are
Hello.
You? Hi, can you hear me?
It is well, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before.
Okay.
It is well. It's been a while since I've called in, probably a couple of years, and my dear friend Rhonda sent me a message, and I was like, you know, tonight is the night to definitely call in. Wow.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad that you're joining us, and tell Rhonda I said thank you, and God bless her.
Absolutely.
As well.
I'm sure she's listening.
She might very well be. Thank you, Rhonda. God bless you, Rhonda. okay, well, let me mute your phone line for a second, Donna, and I'll come right back to you, okay, because I can hear a little bit of background noise, which is fine. So, Father, I just thank you for Donna, Lord. I bring her to your altar, Father, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for there's like an accent or an emphasis, Lord. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the name of Jesus. You know, when the Lord does something, and oftentimes he will do it, and kind of talked about it a little bit tonight, but oftentimes what he'll do is he will like double something, but it's like his confirmation is on it. And there's something on your name that he is confirming and wanting to confirm on you. And that's what he's like emphasizing or accenting or whatever that is. He is putting an emphasis on that. And even on your name, and I don't know if it's just that he knows you and he knows you by name and he knows how many hairs are on your head. And just the emphasis of confirming to you that he knows who you are and that he's created you, you know, that his hand is upon you, that he, you know, handcrafted you and refined you and made you in his image. And you carry his value and his purposes in your heart. And I thank you, Father God. I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And so when I said to you, carry his value and his purposes, and I've seen that you weren't really carrying anything else, you know, that your light, your load needs to be lighter. And each step was of value and of purpose to him. And it was, you know, the stride was getting easier and longer, you know, like more confidently and with courage. You know, he tells them to be strong and courageous wherever you go. For I'm the Lord God, I'm with you wherever you go. And within your stride, you're getting your purpose and your value from the Lord. And I just want to say to you as well that, you know, I was talking this evening about him clothing us and the verse in Galatians 3:27 where it says, for as many of you who, as you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, and to, that we clothe ourselves with him, we put on Christ. And that scripture itself came across my path two times this week as well. But how he prepares us with, as we go through trials and we keep ourselves in him, and he inspires us, and then we in turn inspire other people. But how he clothes us is, and I was not always intentionally, but as we keep ourselves clothed with him, I mean, that's not the purpose of going through trials for other people. It's to grow in the Lord and the truth and the knowledge of who he is. And, you know, their faith becomes genuine. But in and through that, as we put on Christ, that he gives us that dignity and honor, humility and majesty that is being clothed in righteousness. That he brings us comfort, even in times of rejection and abandonment, that we have garments of acceptance and his approval, and that warms up his peace and his healing. And then he also clothes us with an armor that protects us from the arrows that fly by day and the plague by night, which is Psalm 91. So he strengthens us of armor. But again, going back to your steps and your strides and just seeing, again, that he is the Lord your God, that he be strong and courageous, for he is with you wherever you go, that you have value and purpose in your steps and as you move forward. So we thank you for that, Father. And Lord, is there anything else, Lord, that I may be missing or overlooking on Donna's behalf? God, and we thank you, Lord, and just bring her to your altar, God. I thank you that you see her and you know her by name. You know how many hairs are on her head, God, and you created her, shaped her, formed her, Lord, and given her her identity in Jesus' name. And, you know, Christ does choose our identity. He, you know, we were created in his image, and then he forms us and shapes us into his likeness, right? So he's building his character and the fruits of the Spirit within us so that we are becoming like him. Even though we are created in his image, then we begin to bear his likeness, right? And so thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, the identity. So your identity in him is he really, because he's purchased that at the cross, and with his precious blood, that, you know, we don't always even get to choose for ourselves our own identity, right? Because you hear people say, oh, I thought I was going to be a teacher, or I thought I had this gift, or I wanted this gift even, you know, and then the Lord showed me later it was this instead, you know, it was something else instead, or you know, even in our weakness, and I was reading that scripture in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul was speaking of his weakness, and I read it in the Amplified Version, is that you know, because there's parts of, like, my testimony, I don't even want them to be my testimony, do you know what I'm saying? But when I offer them, they seem to have the most glory to God and to bring the most glory to his name and strengthening other people in the faith and in the grace and gaining understanding and profound insight of who God is and who their Heavenly Father really is and how he works in someone's life, right? And but I didn't get to choose that. It was just, you know what I'm saying? But there's all those different aspects of he gets to choose our identity for us because he's purchased it. So sometimes we have to set some things aside to accept what he's chosen for us and and just to receive that from him. And sometimes that there is like a letting go, but then what he brings forward is a, and I've seen it like this, which I do need to, I've seen it like this where people will talk about this necklace that is like a, it looks like it's pearl, but it's not. It's just a pop bead necklace, you know, like plastic, and it'll pop the little things inside, and then you can pop them out, and they're connected. And it's almost like he's saying, well, let me have that necklace. You're like, well, no, like, this is my favorite necklace. But he has a genuine pearl, you know, the real thing, ready to offer you. But first he's saying, but you don't know that yet, but you know that he's a good God and he's not going to take anything from you. But he's saying, let me have that. And in exchange, you know there's going to be something good, but you just haven't seen it yet. You haven't experienced it yet. You haven't, he hasn't shown it to you yet, even though you have to trust him that he is good and what he has offered to you is going to be so much greater if we let go of of what it is he's asking us to let go of. So I don't even want to put that into words because I don't want it to be misaligned to anything. So let me go back and open up your phone line here. Okay, there we go.
My goodness.
So thank you.
Thank you. What a word. All over the place. I can't remember what the format is, if we just share a little bit or what, because it's been quite a while, maybe a couple of years since been on. I think initially when I called in a few years back, I was going through a divorce or had recently divorced, and it was domestic violence in background, and was having to navigate the waters of being a now a homemaker, unemployed, with two small children, one with special needs. And this has just been such a long journey. And in last year, having gone through 2 years of the pandemic, I had been pleading with my ex-husband to please let us leave the state to go back where we have family and connections and roots. And he said, over your dead body, will you ever leave the state? And I just remembered, I could hear the Holy Spirit just saying, you know, the devil is a liar. Just stand and be still. Just be still. And that's the hardest thing to do when there's so much chaos going on all around you. And so it's not by accident that I'm calling in tonight, because I'm in this custody battle now. He sued me for full custody to prevent the move. And I recently had a health crisis where I ended up, oh my goodness, I ended up in the hospital, and I was rushed by ambulance to the hospital, and it was with a heart condition. And the Lord just kept saying, you know, like, guard well your heart, because from it the wellspring of life flows. And I just remember, like, the Lord kept bringing to my mind all of these scriptures, powerful scriptures that had to do with your heart and everything else that was going on. And I spent a week in the hospital. I got out last Sunday, and I just had great healing ministry is what my pastor called it. I purposely did not turn on the TV. I didn't spend a lot of time on the phone. I just was like, okay, Lord, you have my attention. You've been asking me to be still, and I haven't figured out how to do that. And now I know I have to. There's no other choice. And the one thing that I've held on to through this whole arduous battle is just that the Lord has kept me and he's preserved me. And even with this and the times over this last 5-year period where I was like, I don't have any purpose, I don't have any value, I don't have any anything, the Lord just keeps showing me the fact that my life has been preserved. There's something that he wants to do in me and through me for my good and his glory. And I'm just, today I let it come out of my mouth. Lord, thank you for trusting me with such a battle. Thank you for trusting me. Thank you for trusting me with these difficult hardships. So to hear our prayer tonight was spot on. Another girlfriend that I haven't seen in, I don't know, 20 years from college sent me a message this morning, and it was be strong. I think it was be strong and courageous in the Lord. And then my pastor who lives somewhere else sent almost the exact same thing. And so when you talk about confirmation, you know, and God giving you like showing you his affirmation of you, whether it is like, you know, like covering and putting this thing around me that says, I know you don't know what I'm doing, but he's saying, you know, I'm doing a new thing. Can you perceive it not? So tomorrow as I'm going into this custody mediation, whatever it is, every time I've had to deal with legal work, I feel that anxiety and fear and all of these things rising up. And the Lord is like, who do you say that I am? Not what are your lawyers saying, not what is the judge going to say, but who do you say that I am? And so I'm thankful that you were able to pray with me tonight. It's confirmation. I know that we can all pray for ourselves. I'm thankful for Rhonda for always interceding on my behalf, and she and I have never physically met, but she is such an incredible, wonderful, beautiful intercessor on my behalf. And to have this opportunity to call in tonight and to just listen and share, I'm so very grateful because I needed this peace and this confirmation that I'm walking exactly the path that the Father has for me.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. Thank you so much for your humility to share all of that and just even how the Holy Spirit has strengthened you with his grace for your life. And I'm grateful as well just for being able to have a place for his presence to flow to his people, you know, and for them to be reached. And that is my heart and my prayer. Even before I enter and dial in myself, is that, you know, just a place of honoring and knowing that there are people that belong to the Lord, and I don't want to do anything, you know, outside of that that wouldn't honor him. So, and that he would truly, you know, that people would truly be encouraged, as you were saying, genuinely encouraged because of, because he was reaching them, because that's what he wants. That's what he's wanted all along, you know. So, so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's pray. So let me just pray for your court date tomorrow. Lord, we just pray for Donna's court date tomorrow. Father, we thank you, Lord, and certainly don't want to disrupt anything you've already spoken to her, Father, in regards to that, Lord. But we do ask for the favor of God to be upon her life, Lord. And then through the situation, Father, we thank you, Lord, that she listens to you and speaks forth your words, God, because your words, even as she said today, Lord, she finally let that come out of her mouth, Lord, that because your word, Lord, when your breath is on it and we speak it forth, Lord, that it accomplishes that in which you sent it to go forth to do, Father. So we thank it for that, God. And I do think of Luke 18:1-8. You can look that up later. God, that the that you, Lord, would avenge her speedily, Father God, and we thank you for her faith, Lord, that faith is found on earth in her home and in her heart, God, and that you see that. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would just avenge her according to your word, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you again so much for calling. God bless you. And
God bless you as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope you join us again. So thank you for your testimony too. So God bless. Thank you. Okay, I have two more callers tonight. I think I can. I think I can do it without going over. 850-966. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Hi there. 850-966. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Who's calling and who am I calling from? That's okay. Good evening. 850-966. Can you see? Okay. Oh. Let me come back. She's got her hands full right now. That's okay. I raised three kids, too. I totally understand. It's all good and it's all grace. We'll come back. Okay. 281-731. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Sister Deborah. How you doing? This is Evelyn from Texas.
Hi, Evelyn. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing. Thank you so much for joining us again this evening. Do you want to share a little bit before I pray with
this
you?
Ma'am?
Yes, go ahead.
I didn't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, do you want to share anything with the listeners before I pray for you?
Well, not exactly share anything, but I enjoyed the word that you gave me. You gave me a word 2 weeks ago, and I was calling to get some more confirmation. I've been reading it, but I don't quite understand it. And maybe you could remember it. I have it on my phone if you want me to read it back to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let me go back in my notes, too. Wait, before you do that, let me go to my notes to see if I...
Oh, okay. It was February the 9th.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, was it something about numbers or no?
It was, you know, where you did me, you say 46, you say, bless her with a mighty wind and a mighty power in Jesus' name. The Lord says he has angels in the last days and the harvest. And he said, go to the four corners of the earth and to make, to blow, to speak, to places, to share the gospel. And you say, I see a preparation. He has a place for you in one of those four corners. Might even be northwest or southwest or something like that, but I see it being on the edge of the two corners, kind of like that, like northwest or northeast. But I don't know specifically, directly, but that type of thing is so. Her creative works are there, but he has also ordained it for you to be in those places and to participate. And you got, thank you, Lord, for your mighty wind and your mighty presence to blow over her. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the Spirit of God you gave her without measure. And say, Lord, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, on how you are preparing her and what you are doing in her life. I'm seeing a number over you, 43, spiritual growth.
Okay. So, well, it's good for you to write that down. God bless you for selling that.
No, you know what? Sister Rhonda did it for me.
Oh, my gosh. God bless her.
She's a sweetheart. She is a sweetheart.
Okay, spiritual growth. Okay. So, do you travel for work at all?
No, I don't travel at all. I'm not traveling now.
Okay.
In fact, I'm 80 years old. I'm retired already.
Oh, okay. Well, you sound very young.
Thank you. Everybody tell me that.
You too.
I do a lot
sometimes
of
playing on trail
lines. And...
yeah.
Sometimes I hear that too, because anyway, but people are sometimes a lot younger than I really am. But so if you don't travel for work, so I'm not sure exactly. I know sometimes the and I don't even know if you'll travel with groups or. Let me just ask the Lord something for a second. Father, we just thank you, Lord, just for the diligence to write that out, God, and for her heart to inquire, Lord, and to seek of you more, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, because your word says, ask, seek, and knock, Father God, and she is, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for even when our hearts are spiritually hungry, when we hunger and thirst of you, that we shall be filled, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And there is a cooperation, you know, with the Holy Spirit is has his angels, even the last day in the harvest. I don't know if you've asked the Lord to participate with him in that, you know, but there is a participation of angels who are actually preaching the gospel, you know, and I don't know how exactly that happens. And whatnot, you know, but they do come from the four corners of this. So I do hear it as a harvest type of word there. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And so, wow, I don't know, because I don't want to try to practically fit it, like I take a puzzle piece and jam it in a place where it doesn't need to be. Do you know what I mean? And then it throws the whole picture off. So, but it just sounds like a harvest word to me. And I thank you, Lord, for just her seeking, Lord. And as she's seeking, Lord, let her know, Father God, I just ask that you would unlock knowledge to her, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, I thank you, Lord, for the places within her, God, that it refreshes her or renews her, Lord, that you're doing, you know, and what you're doing specifically in and through the Spirit within her with that word, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you would speak to her, God, and bring forth clarity and understanding and wisdom, Lord. And if there's something more, Lord, in and through that interpretation, that you so desire to give this evening or even at a later time, Lord, I thank you, God, for just increasing the understanding of interpretation, God, and the application of words. You know, I had a dream last night about a certain person, and I don't know who it is. I do know the face. Like I was telling my husband today, if I ever ran into this person or seen a picture of them, like if it was an actor or somebody, I don't know, I would probably know who they were. And so what was happening in this dream was I seen them as a clown in the dream, and then they were the person's face. And then it was the clown, and then it was the person's face. And I was saying, oh, this person's clowning around. So I'm saying this because in my dream, actually, it unlocked a place of interpretation, which I've been asking the Lord a little bit. It's funny that you even asked this, too, because as I've been asking the Lord even for, not a greater depth of interpretation, but a greater clarity or how – anyways, you know what I'm saying. And so so in this dream, and then I realized, and I waited, because I said, Lord, is that right in my dream? And the Lord showed me this person is two-faced, and they're clowning around. And I said, oh, that's the interpretation. I remember saying, that's the better interpretation. Like that, like it settled in me, like that's correct. Like it was fell in order of the interpretation. It definitely fell in order. So I've just been asking the Lord about that. So if something does come up later, because there has been times before where I've prayed for people and then I realized later, oh, like that same thing will happen. There'll be a different depth of interpretation where it feels like it falls in order, you know, and it might just be a piece still because, you know, prophetically speaking, you know, we prophesy in part. So we only know a part of what's happening. And if your part is to participate, with this end time harvest, and it might be, who knows, because, and what I was going to say is this, is that it could be the directional thing is, you know, even if the Lord sent, people to you that lived in that region, like in that corner of the region, but they came across your path and you ministered to them. Do you get what I'm saying? Because I've had people give me words too. I've had people give me words too that say you're going to specifically minister, and literally they were three different cities. And that has yet to happen unless they've been people here that I don't know. I mean, certainly don't ask for people's city unless people offer it, you know, just automatically say it. It's usually just name and state. And but unless they've been in that particular city here, to my knowledge, this has not happened. Do you know what I'm saying? However, this program as well, there's people who listen online, and then there's people who, you know, who stream it, or people who listen at a later time. You know, part of Blog Talk is that people, you know, on the podcast, so who knows who's listening to it where and when it may have taken place, and I'm just not aware of it, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So let me pray for you this evening a little bit more and see. But I don't have any more on that, and I'm sorry, that's probably not, you were hoping for something more specific maybe, but that's all I have to offer on that. So I apologize. Father, I just thank you for Evelyn, Father. And again, Lord, I thank you for her heart that is seeking to know. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that she would find that, even if she's reading your word or there's an inclination of awareness, Lord, and truth and depth, Father God, where it settles to this place of order, as I reference it to, Lord, and whatever her reference might be, Father, and to showing her this piece, Lord, this prophetic piece, Lord, and how it fits, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you would even use it to teach me as well, Lord, if that is a, if it's a, not a parable, but a, or symbolic than literal, or however that piece fits, Lord. We want you to put the pieces together for her puzzle, Lord, and you have the picture of her life, Lord, and the outcome of her life, Father God, and we thank you for that, Lord, that you are, you know, have a tapestry. Lord, you are a great artist. You are the author and the finisher of her faith, Lord, and she stands before you, God, willing and yielding, Father, and we thank you for that, Lord, and just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I have a desire. I go to a Church of God in Christ Church, and my bishop have churches in Peru, and I do have a desire to go to Peru, and I just pray and ask the Lord, you know, if that's what he want me to do, that he would open the door.
Now, is there something specific you want to do in Peru that you think that,
well, they
you
minister,
know, that you're...
They minister. He have churches, and they minister to the lost, and he minister to ones, you know, to in the evangelistic area, and you know, they go over there and feed them. They set up pantries and all of that kind of thing. And I do minister a lot to different people and lead them to Christ. I'm on my church prayer line twice a week, you know, praying and what have you. And I always, you know, wherever I go, I'm ministering to the lost.
Oh, so you are a participant. You are participating even now. and the harvest. So let me think for a second, because I know where Peru is. I've actually been to Peru, and I haven't stayed very long other than at the airport. I was in the airport for like 8 hours. But I want to tell you, they have a shop there in the airport that has these T-shirts. And they have, and I didn't know this, but they have this, their cotton. They use a different type of cotton than we do that's really high quality cotton. They're actually very nice. Mm. So if you do go there in the airport, get one of their cotton T-shirts. I know that sounds weird. Okay, so let me think for a second. Because that is Peru is east.
Wow.
If you think of where we are, it is south, so it's below us, South America. And no, it's not east, it's west. It's southwest because it's on the outside of the state, southwest.
Okay.
So who knows? I don't know. Just thought I'd throw it out there. But that's interesting.
Yeah,
because that's kind of always, I wanted to go back to Peru myself. So that's why I was asking what you wanted to do. Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah. I've had that tucked in my heart, but now it's out in the open. For quite some time, yeah. So, okay.
Well, I pray the door will be open for you.
Oh, my gosh. So, Father, we thank you for Evelyn, Father, and her desire to go to Peru. Lord, we thank you for bringing that forth. Lord, just even that she is the minister that participates in your harvest, God, I thank you that she participate even in the direction of how these angels would lead her, Lord, and where and how she's led to minister to you, Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, that she would, you know, and that the wind would blow her in the direction, God, and it would even be angelically led, angels would be led, and even when I went to South America, went to Bolivia, but literally there was an evidence of angels leading us in certain places. So we thank you for your hand and your heart to be upon this for her, Father, in Jesus' name, we bless her with it. Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, and that you would have wisdom and provision for her as she steps out, God, that you would even go and prepare, Lord, in advance, Lord. And that's one of the things, and we're going to end with this, one of the things we're even talking about starting this evening with is how the Lord's prepared us as we listen and follow or listen and obey, how he's prepared that place for us. To bless us, to be a blessing to us, even when we bless others or we sacrifice or being obedient and a sacrifice is involved in it, it blesses us. Even when we serve other people, when we go to other countries and it's a great, you know, there are sacrifices, you know, it still blesses us. So I'm not just talking about, you know, having a pumpkin latte or something, you know. A real spiritual blessing, an enhancement, an encounter with the Holy Spirit that develops us into his likeness is a blessing. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing in her life and how you will direct her. I think like after saying that and mentioning Peru, just being angelically led to go with the wind and the spirit to minister, like you're saying, to minister and even in evangelism and to bring in the kingdom of God at large, to grow his kingdom and his church at large for his glory. Yeah, for his glory. So amen. God bless you. And it was nice to talk to you a little bit more.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've explained it. I didn't realize I was already participating, you know, in the end time, you know, because I witness everywhere I go, in the grocery stores, everywhere. And, lead people to Christ.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think and I really do think you are being blown by the angels, you know, and angelically being led to where you're, you might want to even start asking people in the grocery store, so where are you from originally? And see if any of those, any of these directional things, if there's anything even tied to that, you know. And it might even, it may or may not be, but it might just be a symbolic for the Lord just directing you even to the four
Amen.
Corners, you know, which would be Peru
Amen.
Would be one of them, you know, yeah. So,
praise
well,
God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you. I enjoy you so much.
Thank you. That was a great question, too. I appreciate you even asking. So praise God for that. And you have a good week.
Amen.
God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Well, good night, everyone. Thank you so much. And Rhonda, you too, for sharing Blog Talk with all of your friends and loved ones and beyond, and everyone who's listened and was prayed for, and those online too. We just, in the name of the Lord, and shalom to your home. God bless you.